Amen. Thank the Lord for willing people to go and to share the gospel. And well, I'm going to give you just a couple, I hate to be the announcement church tonight, but it seems like we just need to make several announcements to you. Several folks have asked me about the possibility of helping with some of the things going on around the church. Of course, obviously, we very well could give an update. Miss Becky tries to keep you updated on Facebook as far as the progress of the auditorium. It's a challenge. If you're not on one of those social media platforms, you're welcome to get on and you kind of see a timeline of how things are going. But we're thankful for all the progress being made. They're working diligently over there, but some have asked about helping as far as our church members. And if you are interested in helping, there are several things that we're getting ready to do even in this building next to us here. If you're interested and you have some skill set that you'd like to utilize here in the Lord's work, then we'd challenge you to do so. We'd love to put you to work. That's a great pitch. We'd love to put you to work. We won't pay you anything, and we'll expect a lot out of you. How's that for a job? That's right. But if you'd like to, then we certainly would like to utilize that. And if you like, let Brother Bill Magnus know, or you can get with Daniel, and he'll connect you with him. If you're not sure who Brother Bill is, then we would love to use you in the renovation project, and we'll be excited about what the Lord does there. Also, Amy restocked some Valentine candy, so young people, you don't have to be those that didn't get to her this morning. First come, first serve, as what's the slogan, while supplies last. We did restock with some candy, so we've got some Valentine's, young people. After the service, if you'll come over and find her again, then we've got something for you, and we'll have a fun time with that. Well, I told you that we'd look at Philippians chapter 1, and we'll look about the first 11 verses. This is Paul's thanksgiving prayer to the people of Philippi. You understand, whenever a pastor, if he's a good one, or preacher, whoever his teacher, if he's a good one, when he says, Paul said this, what he means is, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That means that God said it, but he used men to write some things. And so if you ever hear me say something that that I say, well, so-and-so said this, what I mean by that is that God said it. He just used some men to pin it down, as I mentioned, that holy men of God spake as they were moved. Just like if we have a pastor come in and he's quoting a verse or reading a verse and he reads different than your Bible does, your King James Bible laying there, then he probably just misquoted something. Don't go say, oh, they're using a different version. They're just probably count on the fact that he misread something, which happens to all of us. But when I say things, as any pastor would, that Paul said this, or you know, this person said the other, then we understand that the Lord gave all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we'll look forward to this tonight. This is the letter that the Apostle Paul gives to the Philippians, and we're going to work our way down through the verses, and then at the end, Lord willing, I'll give you a three-point outline that kind of summarizes that 11 verses. So you understand that as we get started, and then we'll pray, the Bible says in verse number 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. And so he includes everybody in that. And as we get started in this Bible study, let's ask the Lord's blessings. Father, I pray that you'd bless what goes on tonight as we preach through this passage. I trust, dear Lord, that the Word of God gets in us as we get in the Word of God. And I ask you, dear Lord, make it alive to us this evening. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the human author, the Apostle Paul, written while he's a prisoner in Rome, about 62 A.D., and he's got a love for this church at Philippi. You know he's got a love for it because if you follow through all scriptures, the Lord used him in the starting of it. And so he is writing back now, under inspiration of God, he is writing back to a church that he had founded, that he started. And he is looking at this epistle, or he's giving this epistle rather, and writing to them with fondness. If you look back, you don't have to, but in Acts chapter 16, you'll find that Paul was beaten here. And this is the city that Lydia was converted. Of course, we know about the Philippian jailer. There's a lot of biblical things that happened here. And I just bring out that, and I want to read it to you in Acts chapter 16. The Bible talks about the Apostle Paul and going through beatings here in Acts chapter 16, verse number 22. The Bible says that, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging a jailer to keep them safely." And then, of course, you know, in the few verses after that, when the Philippian jailer came at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. And so this is that Philippi. Isn't it amazing that all of us want smooth sailing? Yet some of the roughest times in our lives give us the best memories in what the Lord has done. I like for days to be good, don't you? I like for days to be smooth, and I like them to be fun. This afternoon, well, of course, had came to church and preached a couple of times, and then left from here and shared a meal with some friends and got to have some good fellowship. I accidentally fell asleep, not on the drive, but after I got home, as I was trying to refresh my memory and study some things, and next thing I know, I woke up there on the couch and looked at the clock. It still wasn't church time, so I was okay. Got to eat some of the best kettle corn I've ever had in my life today, and got a nap and ate some food with some friends. I tell you, this is a good day. Man, how do you get any better than that? But we all like our days to be smooth. But as you look back over your life, some of the days that you remember with now the most fondness were not so pleasant when they were coming. Because it was those days when you found out how strong the Lord was going to be in your life. And it's those days that you found out the good fellowship that you had with some folks that you got to go through a deep valley with. And when you were bonded in that friendship through that difficult time, it was something that the Lord has not let you forget. And so we see here that the Apostle Paul looks back at this group with fondness. We see Paul and Timotheus. Paul, the aged apostle, brings young Timothy up with him. And you see in verse number 1 that he's Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. And he's giving this to all the believers, to the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. I want you to just notice this as we'll work our way down through here. Every saint was included. And then, as if those are different categories, he said, "Oh yeah, and also the deacons and the bishops, we got them covered as well." I draw a couple things from that the saints came first. Remember this, that the leaders of this church, the pastors that God has brought forward and the people that have been in through history, they're here to help the church. They're here to serve the church, not the other way around. We're all serving the Lord together, and where God puts people in position to be a blessing to all. He gave some apostles and some teachers and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. And so we understand that he gives it to all the saints, verse number 1, with the deacons, or with the bishops and the deacons. And we understand that leaders are put there to benefit the church. They're not there to lord over. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, not have dominion over your faith, but they're the helpers of joy. And so we see here that Paul and Timothy, they write him to all these, Paul writes it to all these people. Then in verse number 2, here's the message that he's getting into. Do you have your Bible open there? "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace. Remember, there's no peace without God, and then there's no grace except from God. And God gives His grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 3. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Well, what was in his memory that he thought about this church at Philippi? Well, look in verse number 7 at the end of it. At the end of verse number 7, he says, Ye all, he's a little southern here, "ye all are partakers of my grace." At the end of verse 7, look, if you will, just hold your place there, but look in chapter 4, verse number 15, and we see here in 4:15 of the same book, Philippians, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So when everything was going difficult, this church helped him out. They were grateful. Look down a few verses, verse number 18. "But I have all and abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." And look at how Paul describes that gifts, those gifts that came from Philippi when he was not there. He was over another place. But look how what God uses to describe it. He said, "They came from you an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable well-pleasing to God. Can I just tell you this as a little side note? It's not the message, but just as a side note, when God puts it on your heart to help some servant of His somewhere, maybe it's some pastor that you grew up in, God just for all of a sudden brings him to your mind, and you think, you know how to do something for him. Maybe it's some staff person used to be here, some old preacher, some evangelist, and you say, I'm going to get online and find their address. I'm going to send them maybe a word of encouragement, maybe a gift of some sort. Here we find the Apostle Paul saying, I remember you very fondly for what you've given to me. He said, I thank God upon every remembrance. As I've told you before, I think my mamma used to say that everybody brings joy into a room. Some people bring it by coming. Some people bring it by leaving. I want to be the person that brings it in by coming. And the Apostle Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And all jokes aside, that's the way I want to live my life. I want to be a blessing to people so that when they look back, they say, well, they may not agree with everything you say. They may not hold to everything you hold to. But they certainly ought to be able to thank God for you. And so he says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Let's go on down. Verse number 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Wouldn't you like to be on the Apostle Paul's prayer list back in the day? You talk about somebody who gets through with God. Amy and I talk about different folks in our family that, well, I believe they really get their prayers answered. I really believe they have a sweet fellowship with the Lord. And the Apostle Paul says that always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. I want you to move on down to verse number 5 as we make our way down, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, one aspect of fellowship is partnership. Being able to join together. That's what I love about some of the ladies over in the nursery. I talked to some of the folks over in the beginner's class just now, and I love the partnership of the fellowship of the gospel. That's why I'm excited about, as we soon, here in the next coming weeks, get back into Sunday school going on and bus ministry and children's churches, because all of it's important. I detest the idea that what goes on in the auditorium is important and what goes on in the other places is secondary, because it's all important in the fellowship of the gospel. I long for our church to be ones that's reaching out again through the bus ministry and getting into areas that we don't yet know. And whether that ministry is seen, not seen, whether people know what you're doing, don't know what you're doing, God knows what we're doing. And we see that this fellowship in verse number 5, it being for this fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, you understand that everybody doesn't get to stand up and holler like I do. Reminded of the little boy that told his mom he was going to be a preacher. He said, well, that's good. And she said, well, why would you want to do that? He said, well, I figure I got to be at church anyways. I might as well get to stand up and holler than sit down and be quiet. But everybody thinks that the pastor or some song leader, the assistant pastors, those folks, wow, look at all that they're doing. Listen, folks, it's all the Lord's work. No matter whether you're over there in the nursery right through those walls, or whether you're over in the beginner's class over there on Sunday mornings, whether you're up in junior church, it's all important. I told one of the ladies recently, I said, well, I think your crowd, or tonight I said, well, I think your crowd might be a little bit more fun than ours will be over here. But I think about this, the fellowship of the gospel. I spoke at a church some time ago. It was a small church, and they weren't able to be a blessing to us like this church would be, for that matter, financially. But they gave some different things that as gifts to me. And those gifts you treasure, because here are some folks that are doing what they can to be a blessing to you, so that as we partner together for the gospel, they understand that getting the gospel out is the most important thing. Let me give you an illustration about that. I've got many letters in my office, I wish I had more, but I have many letters in my office of different folks that are notes that have said such and such, have said something nice about you. And you keep them. President Lincoln, when he was shot, he was found with several positive newspaper articles on his person. Some people say, what an egomaniac, but others probably more rightfully say that it was because he was prone to depression and those things were used of the Lord to encourage him as he'd pull them out. But I have letters in my notes, handwritten notes in my office, that somebody has said this, this, and this about you. And sometimes they'll come with a gift. And I do a lot of joking about gifts that I like, different ones and all that. But you know, long after you spend the $20 that's in there, or the gift card to Texas Roadhouse, or Is it shameless to put a plug in? Let me see. When you come with one of those Logan's gift cards or those Longhorn or Olive Garden or... I don't know why, it just seemed like the Lord led me to say all those, but... long after you spend all those, the note's still there. And so by judging by what I keep, I certainly didn't keep the gift card, I used it. But judging by what you keep, you can tell what's really important. And I believe one of the major ministries that us Christians are missing with each other is when the Bible talks for us to encouraging one another, that you ought to lift up each other. And just a side note, and so not the message, but he says here that that we have this fellowship in the gospel. And once you look down, verse number 6, being confident, the Bible says, this is a powerful verse that lets these folks know that that God will take care of them. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just a powerful verse to remind us of the fact that God's going to get it done. God's going to take care of it. Like Gage was talking about, a young man that had victory over the fact of salvation being God ordained and God given, so that therefore it made it an eternal type salvation. Once you look in verse number 7, there's a wonderful, wonderful phrase here in the video. In case you didn't know this morning, the video that played showed a pastor of Lakewood Baptist Church. And when the pastor said, I think I know what the Apostle John meant when he said, I had no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That was true because he had seen a young person out of his church that had come forward and surrendered his life to the ministry. And he's going to go on and do great things with the Lord, I believe. But that was also true because Brother Gage Gilbert's dad, Brother Gilbert, is the pastor there. And so not only is he seeing a church member, but he's also seeing one of his children go out. And I believe that you know what that means when you say, well, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It's a great, great encouragement to you when somebody that you had a part of, whether they're your biological children or not, but somebody that you taught in Sunday school or somebody that you had on ministry, and you see them go on and do great things. And I think about that statement being one of the hallmark statements in Scripture that I truly love to hear about. And this next one in verse number 7 is one that ranks right up there with that. Even as it meet for me to think of this of you all, look at the next phrase, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both my bonds and in these defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. The phrase I'm referring to is that second phrase there in verse 7, because I have you in my heart. Don't we know what it's like to have somebody deep in our heart? Let me illustrate by this. You ever watch kids do something that you think is annoying and you think, oh man, that's getting on my nerves? And then have you ever watched that same activity be done by kids that are yours? Let me explain. We were at Niagara Falls one time. We tried to take a trip each year with Amy's sister and her kids and our kids. And I saw some kids doing that same thing. We were doing something. I said, look at those kids. Punks. Annoying kids. They're doing something wrong. I don't remember what it was. And then later, I saw some of my own kids doing the same thing. And then I realized they were just having fun. It wasn't malicious like I first thought it was. Hope you understand what I'm meaning by this. It's not like you're changing depending on who's doing it. The love that you have for somebody makes all the difference. When you understand that you hear a baby cry and you're trying to get rest, maybe that's annoying to you. But you take somebody who's been trying to have little ones for years and years and years, and that same sound is not annoying to them, because that nephew of theirs or whoever, they're in her heart. And so I love this phrase, because I have you in my heart. And so we understand as we work our way down through here, now we're going to look at verse 8 to 11, he just gives some big compliments and some needed prayers. For God's my record, verse 8, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. gives some big compliments here and assures them that he's behind them. So remember, whenever you're reading the epistles in the New Testament, Philippians, Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, all those and some others, that these are true letters that God used of somebody to write to this church, and so they got word back from the person that they love, but it was also God using those men to write inspired scripture, and so it's amazing how God works all that together. You say, which is more important, that letter that they received in the immediate or the eternal presence that the word of God gives? It's all important. That's the only way that can be explained, though, is that God's a miraculous God. And so we see this book of Philippians given to these people, and it's just a wonderful statement from a loving preacher to a church that means so much to him. I've heard of this church who's not necessarily as scholarly as you might think or might want them to be. But finally, they were talking to their pastor. He'd been there for some time, and he'd preach about Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Galatians, and this. Finally, one of the guys asked him after church, he said, "Preacher," he said, "you keep preaching by all these letters to the churches." He said, "You've been our pastor for 22 years. You ain't wrote us a letter yet." He had a little explaining to do. And so we understand, as we get started in this series about Philippians, we see here the great grace that's given, as the Apostle Paul says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me give you this 3-point outline as we just kind of sum up these whole 11 verses. I see, first of all, humble beginnings. Verse number 1, what's it say about Paul and Timotheus? Servants. You know, we ought to give a plug nickel for somebody who thinks that they're better than somebody else just because they do whatever. We certainly wouldn't want somebody to be in leadership at a church or leadership of a ministry if they thought somehow that because of their position, they were better than somebody. At Highland Park, Dr. Jerry Faulkner used to say that God positions like this, meaning that he puts some people at the top and some people underneath, and just because it has to be that way to get anything done, he said, but God rewards like this. Doesn't matter where you are, whether you're the teacher, whether you're the helper, the assistant, the flunky that just barely got in the door as a Sunday school class. Doesn't matter. God rewards like that because he's not interested in what position. He'll work all that out, but he is worried about our faithfulness, wherever it's required that stewards be found faithful. And so we see the humble beginnings here. The Bible says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Here's the great Apostle Paul. Here's the one that was the greatest missionary in the whole New Testament. Here's the one that God used to pen much of the New Testament. Here's this great, great man of God. And he says, we're servants. I already mentioned this morning, I think I did, Bobby Robertson, who pastored in Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. I remember going to great conferences there. And in those days, they were running a little over 3,000 in Sunday school. And they had these big boards. And out of that 3,000, about 1,600 people would come on the church buses. And about 1,600 would come drive-in folk. And they had big boards about which bus was which one. You know, the drill. And somebody had really pushed Brother Bobby one time. Said, "Brother Bobby, why don't you put on top of all those buses, Carolina, both of them, north and south, why don't you put on top of your buses, Carolina's largest Sunday school?" And you got to know, Brother, he's in heaven now, but he was such a unique and humble person. But here's his answer. He said, number one, I don't put it on there because I hope it's not true. He said, I hope somebody's doing better than we are. We just don't know about them. And then number two, he said, the other reason is, I don't want to let the devil make me proud. They were running at that point 50 buses. They had no Bible college, no young people that are there training. It's just normal folk. 50 buses all over that triad area. And he said, I don't want to let the devil make me proud. So we see a humble beginning, verse 1 to 4. But then we see verse number 5 through 7, we see this co-laborer status. Look again, if you would, in verse number 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident, verse number 6, of this very thing, that he began a good work in you, will perform it. Verse number 7, I have you in my heart. They partnered with the Apostle Paul, verse number 5. They were powered by God in verse number 6. And they were partakers of the grace of God in verse number 7. They had this co-laborer status. I pray that Buffalo Ridge would never be a church where people think that they're somebody because they have a position. May we understand that we're all just sinners saved by grace. And the only thing that's good in us from Preacher, lastly, all the way down to the person who hasn't yet joined, the only thing good in any of us is Jesus Christ. It matters not what position you hold or used to hold or hope to hold. Jesus Christ is all that matters. So I see the co-laborer status. And then I see the last thing, verse number 8 to 11, this continual intercession. I already talked about it some. This continual intercession, he says, how greatly I long after you. In verse number 9, he says, I pray that your love may abound. And he says in verse number, at the end of verse number 10, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. Paul seems to put everybody involved at the same level. It'd be a good lesson for our churches in America. All of us just coming in because the only thing we have to wave the flag for is salvation through Jesus Christ. These people owe Paul everything, though, as far as spiritually speaking, they owe it all to Christ. But humanly, they owe it to him because he's the one that brought the message to them. And yet he turns around and thanks them. Thank God upon every remembrance of you. Because God used me, and look at this cyclical cycle. Look at this cycle. God used Paul to bring the gospel. God used the Philippians to provide for the gospel bringer. And the gospel bringer went on and became the gospel taker. And then the gospel taker took it to somewhere else. And those people, while he was taking it to somebody else, this group sent to his needs again and again. And they just kept on going. And one not getting bigger than the other. And the preacher not getting more high than the listener, and the listener realizing that everybody's got a ministry. And I think this evening that maybe God's brought us to this point where we understand that there's nothing good in any of us except the gospel. And then we also understand that as the Apostle Paul was used of God to bring the gospel to this group, then we also need to be faithful in proclaiming the gospel. I love what he says, and I'll leave you with this. In verse number 1, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, with, as if you deacons in this room and bishops, pastors, whatever, you're just kind of an add-on. Lest we think that somehow position matters with the deacons and the, or bishops and the deacons. And then to all of them in one big lump, grace be unto you and peace from God. I trust as we look into this tonight that the Lord would do some things in your life, make you realize how all of us are needed to get this gospel out. You understand, folks, I believe we're very close to the end. And I believe it's not the time for us to coast. Instead, I believe for it's the time for us to get actively behind and involved in what God's doing. I was challenged this week by watching a pastor, and this pastor said that all of us, he was talking to Christian people, he said all of us will talk about the gospel to saved individuals. But he was challenging all of the folks in this audience to that week share the gospel with somebody who's not a Christian. You ever understand? You ever notice how easy it is in here to say, oh, I got a real answer to prayer? Talk about the gospel, God stuff and all that to hear. But sometimes the devil gives you lockjaw when you do it out and about. I'm challenging us to do the same thing. All of us, churches used to put phrases like this, every member, a minister. I'm challenging all of us to remember that we've got a ministry. We've got a job that needs done. Monday's coming and Tuesday, and you'll see people who I won't see, and I'll see people who you won't see, and all of us ought to be on guard. All of us ought to be on the lookout for an opportunity to get the gospel out, because the Apostle Paul makes it very clear in this passage. He says, I'm giving this message. I give thanks for all of you, because all of us working together go forward for the gospel. It matters not if you're the apostle or the church. The people at Philippi are the one coming to Philippi. We just got a job to do, get the gospel. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, that as we look at the ground being leveled at the foot of the cross, according to the old saying, Lord, I pray that tonight we would, dear Lord, understand once again how important it is to get behind the work that you've got for us here. Lord, if we're not in yet, get in. If we're not engaged, put it in gear and get engaged. If we're not giving, get behind in giving. If we're not serving, get behind in serving. If we're not praying, get behind in praying. And Lord, if there's somebody in here that thinks somehow because of position that they have or used to have or want to have, that they're somehow superior, dear Lord, please knock all of that out of us. Let us go on for your glory. And let's see what you can do right here in our Jerusalem, dear Lord, I pray. Well, thank you for it all. Well, we're grateful for it. As they begin to play, would you stand together with us? Perhaps God spoke to your heart in a special way this evening. Maybe you'd like to... the front are open to you. Maybe you're here tonight not sure that heaven's your home, but you'd sure like to be sure. You'd like to know that Jesus is your Savior. Would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's here in front of the pulpit that I preach from. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven's your home. Would you come tonight? Maybe God's opened your eyes to some things tonight. You always thought, well, certain people are higher in the chain than other people, possibly in positionally, but not in value-wise. And I pray that before tonight, but especially from tonight, that God would allow Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to remember that all of us are responsible for the ministry that God's put on us. I don't mind being the pastor and in many ways leading it, but I want you to know we're all going to do it together if God would give us His grace to get it done. Father, bless us now. And as we continue to play, would you continue to pray? If the Lord has burdened your heart, would you do business with Him? Father, again, bless us, we pray. Well, thank you for the wonderful day you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May look this way. And I'm going to go ahead and have you be seated while Brother Scott Martin's going to come. While he's coming, let me make these couple of important, one important announcement, the other less maybe. But Brother Craig and Molly Wilcox over there and their family, they've been coming for some time and a great blessing to us. And they're saved and baptized in deep water after they got saved and want to join with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And they've expressed that. They've read our doctrinal statement, all that agree. You rejoice with them wanting to join Buffalo Ridge. Would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, you're in. And they are good, good folks. And we certainly have enjoyed getting them. If you haven't met them yet, I challenge you to do that. And we have a good, just a wonderful spirit. And we thank God for them coming from a great church up in Illinois. And we're thankful that the Lord has brought them down our way. Also, just a couple of other announcements. If you are interested in helping with some physical things around the church as we're getting ready to make some changes and things and open up some new classrooms and things, if you'd see Brother Bill Magnus back there. And if you forget who he is, and you can see Brother Daniel right there. I thought you left. And then also, Brother Dan wants to meet with the choir right over here by the piano for a short meeting right after the service. Brother Scott, why don't you come?